Another aspect to consider about the gate is that to sit in the gate is a synonym for to be a judge. One of the many places where we see this is in the account of Lot. He sat in the gates of the city and judged the people of Sodom. Paul addressed the matter of judgment in his letter to the Corinthians. He was actually shocked because some of the Corinthian church members were suing their fellow believers in secular courts. And so this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 3. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. In Genesis, God gave Adam dominion or rulership over this earth. In Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Mankind messed up. Adam and Eve did not exercise that dominion, not fully. But God's plan never changed. God created man to rule and reign in life. We are to have dominion over all of creation, except for the heavenly realms and other people. We are to judge matters, but we are not to dominate or control other people. God gave mankind free will, and we are to use that free will to rule and reign in life. A person who is ruled by a cruel master is oppressed and enslaved. Some examples of cruel masters are death, sin, debt, money, fear, and even the law of Moses. You and I have to be master over each of these cruel masters. If we fail to master them, then they will master and enslave us. They are not necessarily bad things. For example, money. Money is certainly not bad, unless it rules over us. It can be a useful tool and a good servant. Life can be complicated, but if we allow God's word to shape our thinking, we can most certainly rule and reign in life, no matter what giant we face. Some giants must die, while others must be turned into servants that we master. For example, death. Death becomes your servant, as you recognize that it was defeated by Christ's death and resurrection. And you realize that because Jesus rose from the dead, and because you are in Christ, then you will also be resurrected and be with God forever. Therefore, death is no longer a master over you, but a servant that will transport you from this corruptible world into the glorious kingdom of God. Sin cannot ever be your servant. Rather, it is an enemy that must die. Once again, the death and resurrection of Christ is pivotal to conquering this foe, because As I reckon the old man to be dead, and myself to be a new creation, alive in Christ, then sin can no longer be part of my life, because a dead man cannot sin. And what about debt? The key to overcoming debt is forgiveness. It is a two-part forgiveness. We have to receive forgiveness from our Master, who is God, and we have to give forgiveness to others. Debt is not about money at all. Many things can be owed to us besides money. Money is just a picture, an example. But a parent may owe you love. A friend may owe you devotion. A colleague may owe you respect. Forgiveness is writing off all the debts that you are owed and owing no man anything. Forgiveness can then become your servant because it can heal another person and open them up to receive you and to receive the Word of God. Money. Money makes an excellent servant, but a terrible master. To rule over money, one must use it wisely, invest it, and recognize that it all belongs to God anyway. You are simply a steward of what belongs to God. Money can certainly be used to God's glory and to advance His kingdom and spread the good news. Another enemy is fear. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The antidote to fear is an intimate relationship with our personal Father God. Know that He's your loving Dad, and He will take care of you. He loves you so much. And then there's the law of Moses. The law of Moses is not at all evil. The problem with it is the fact that it condemns us all because we have all broken at least part of the law. It also makes us sin conscious instead of God conscious. We master this by not living lawlessly, but refusing to live under judgment because we are focused on God and we recognize that in Christ our sins have already been judged and forgiven. Therefore, we are free to live not in sin or under the law because Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly, overflowing. And one day our lives will be the gifts that we give our King Jesus. And so we are free to live free forever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next lesson, have a wonderful time in God. God bless you and bye for now.